somebody to remember how to pray.
Yeah, Dave.
Sunday morning, October 20th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember how to pray.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah, yes, Lord. That your spirit would be here this morning,
yes.
Lord. That it would flow unencumbered without any kind of obstacles or whatever, oh Lord. That we would just be caught up in the movement of your spirit, Lord. Do that good work. Lord, it's good to have Glenn and Barb back. We're happy to see them. Lord, we ask for your blessings on their life here. Bless them. Bless them, oh Lord. Bless them with good health. And you keep away the adversary from their lives, oh Lord. And Lord, we ask just gently for your blessings on our church, too, Lord.
Amen.
Is that good word? Thank you, Lord.
The other morning, I woke up with a scripture passage on my mind. I didn't know exactly where it was, but let me read the whole passage. It's only a couple of verses. It came to pass, as they went, that they entered into it. Now listen to each part of it here begin. Into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now listen, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Okay? And Martha was comforted about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Okay, there's the background. And Jesus, now you'd think he'd say, Mary, why don't you go help Martha? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that make the most sense? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. Mary, come in and help her. But one thing is needful. Now you got to follow this. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. One thing is vitally important and needful. And here's the verse that came to me, hit me. But Mary has chosen the good part. Remember they came to Jesus and they said, good master? And he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. But here he says, the good part. Meaning what? Now we got the information that God wants and that she is listening to. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen, and I tell you what, all of these things jumped out at me. 20 years ago, we decided to listen to God's word. We were prompted, but we decided to start listening. And I've been listening to it pretty much day and night for 20 years. Okay, why? Why? Well, part of it is a choice. Because I was made to know at that point that it was a good choice. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It was a good choice. One thing is needful. I have come to the realization that that is the one thing that is needful. To fill our vessels with the Word of God until out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. You know what I mean? That it is needful. And it shall not be taken away from her. Well, what about Martha? The poor girl, she's left all by herself. But you know what? There's several places where she fixed the food and did what she needed all by herself. This was just an incident where she was overwhelmed and she wanted her sister to come and help her. You know what I mean? And anyway, but she chose the good part, which is needful, and it shall not be taken away from her. I begin to realize just lately that the Bible says that, you know, that when Jesus came on the scene, it says that the land was in darkness, and they have seen a great, I don't know, it's a great light or something, they've seen a great light. And the light, actually, as we have studied the scriptures, the light means truth. They're in darkness, they're in false doctrine, they're in false teaching, they're in false whatever it is. And so Jesus came on the scene and told Pilate, he said, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. So how vital and important is truth? And Jesus says in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them or separate them unto yourself. He's praying to the Father. Through your truth. Does that mean there were a lot of truths?
More than one.
Huh?
More than one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
But there was actually only one truth.
Yeah, one true truth.
But the other ones were what people considered truth. Do we not have the same condition today?
Mm-hmm.
We've got church organization after organization. Every single one of them says, come to us, we have the truth. I mean, we can say that too, we're just nuts there. But the thing is, the thing that is missing in life, see, if you are in false doctrine and you are taught that it is the truth, then you don't do what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, because they did not receive a love for the truth. You can't receive a love for the truth if you are convinced you already have the truth, but it's not the truth. You follow what I'm saying?
I do. I think that's true.
Yeah. And so, the only truth, actually, I mean, God made all things. So what God says is truth. What dumbfounds people, and I was thinking about that too, is the fact that God did not speak these words himself. He etched the law on tablets of stone. But as far as these words, he put this in the hearts or the minds or the something of holy men of old, it says in Peter. And they spoke, you know, God spoke to us through the prophets, and then in the last days he has spoken to us through his Son. So, even though they're words through men, God has this unimaginable ability to put his words in somebody's mind and they speak it. What about the prophecies that came true concerning Jesus? Concerning a lot of things. Here are the prophecies. Then they said, well, we have no prophecy that says he came out of Nazareth. But they didn't know that he was born in Bethlehem. So that everything was fulfilled. And then the scripture does say somewhere, it says he shall be called a Nazarene from Nazareth. And how does it happen that these things were spoken through men that God spoke to? And it's the voice of God. It's the word of God. Why is it the word of God? Men spoke it because God caused them to. And it tells us that Jesus was the expressed image of the invisible God, which means what? What does that mean? He was the express image. If you express, that means you speak. God used him to tell us what he wanted to tell us. Are you following me? So he was the express image. He vocalized what God told him to say. He said, "This is what." And of course, he told us back in Deuteronomy. He said, "I will put my words in his mouth."
Jesus was a prophet.
Jesus was a prophet. Which changes the picture a little bit from the way that the conclusions of men have made him. You know. It could only are his conclusions. I used to be impressed when I heard some fellows that I thought were really great. They say, "Well, you know, I think." And the other day I thought about that. I thought, as soon as you hear somebody say, "Well, I think," you probably heard it headed for false doctrine. Because I don't maybe have the ability to think things like God does, that lines up with God.
It's interesting that you brought what you did this morning, because I was, which I'm probably going to not do so much of anymore because now I've seen enough, but I've been on YouTube and been getting these things about Benny Hinn and then other pastors pointing out where there's cults and just all this was, you know, and when I got done, I feel like the Spirit put it on me to exhort us all the more to be hearing this word only. Because it's just rant, all out there, and it's mostly the musing of men's minds. Some of it's, you know, they're correct in some things and what they're saying, but it just was really impressed upon me that we really need to keep this as the only word of truth. You know, and the focus of all what we want to keep listening, to keep reading it, you know, and let it, as everything that you said, you know, be put on your heart and everything, because there is crazy stuff going on out there. I mean, one of the things that a guy pointed out is there's this movement, and I can't remember, it had a weird name, but they'll go into a city and they'll send out feelers to find out what it seems like the people want, like if they want the baptism of the Holy Spirit or they want, I don't know, prosperity, whatever, and they'll start forming a church that speaks to that only to get them in. And it's like, and then there was somewhere, you know, they were showing the manifestation supposedly of the Spirit where people are shaking and jumping and different stuff. And when I looked at it, we had some of that, but it was like it just didn't look right. But it's kind of like they can bring in the angel of light and mimic God's signs and wonders, you know. And they can do that with people. Obviously, you know, if there's demonic presence, it can make them do all kinds of things, you know. I mean, you can have a whole service probably led that way, you know, more than likely. So, I mean, the one thing that will keep us in God's hands safe is having this word along with the discernment to see the falsehoods and the falseness and the deceptions and to test the spirits, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, to anyone listening too, just don't go away from this word. It's going to really be needed.
It is an ark. The Word of God is an ark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that all that yammering of churchy people—it's so grievous. It's grievous. You know.
Yeah. It was really ironic that you started out with "She has the good part," which was listening to his word, and that was the exhortation, was to keep listening to this good thing, the good part, you know, the word.
It's kind of creepy. I mean, to me, it's creepy that they would send feelers out to, you know, find out what what does this town want. Let's cater to them.
You're right.
That's creepy.
The opposite of being led by the spirit.
Led by the devil. Led by the devil.
They're probably building a pretty good sized church.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they've done it in quite a few cities.
Well, they're just very good marketers.
On one hand, what's interesting is, and I don't know yet whether it's the enemy or the Lord, but some of these big time evangelists and big church folks are seeing the deception in some of their positions. So it could be a good thing that the Lord is opening up and there's a little bit of revelation starting to get out of the world. On the other hand, it could be, then they could race ahead, not that it's never happened before, on their own intellect and start to make other decisions and judgments about this, that, and the other thing instead of meditating on the Word day and night. So it's kind of an interesting situation as you look out there and you go, well, it's really exciting that so many people are coming out against the falsehood of the prosperity blessing act that's been so ingrained in our country's religious beliefs, and people are now like coming out and acknowledging it for what it is, which is a deception. You know, you could say this is good, light is starting to be shed, and the question is, how are they going to move forward? You know, are they going to move forward based on the Word, or are they going to move forward based on other things that they can think of? And you're right. The internet is a melting pot for everybody's idea.
You know, and the thing that was, because I don't, the guy that had the church was the guy from the switch and the switchblade and the cross.
Well,
David Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
I don't.
Not? I somehow think he is not.
Oh, because this, so then what I heard from him a little bit might have been a while ago, but it's funny, guys, that when they see this, the false signs of maybe slain in the spirit, well, then, you know, then their position is that's why you've got to stay away from them.
Ooh, yes.
You know, and so it does too. You know, the devil wins both ways.
Sure.
You know, because then it's like, see, we can't go stepping off into that realm because people get off. Well, because you don't know the whole real Holy Spirit, you know.
So, you know,
there's all that going on too at the same time.
Reminds me of the story that Keith tells about the Bible college from some Pentecostal church. Bible, you know, said, no, we can't have any more prophecies here because there were some, you know, wildfire prophecies. So, nope. No more prophecies. Ooh, whoa, whoa.
To my knowledge, they still teach that. That's been 20 years ago.
Instead of trying the Spirit, trying, you know, one listening and if it agrees or not. You know, you gotta let it happen so you can make the choice of what's real and what's not.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely. The problem is, you know, like with trying the spirits, I mean, it says that several places in the scripture, but one of them is in 1 John 4. And it says, in a trial to see whether, you know, and it says, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Well, that's a lot more I don't know what the right word is, but it's a lot more of a truth area than what most people want to get into. What do you mean he came in the flesh? He came in the flesh and decided not to remain in the flesh? I mean, what's the rest of the story? So, if that's the case, and churches teach that he's God, that he's a spirit being, whatever else. Well, you don't want to use 1 John 4 because that's going to go against what you teach. And so people are handicapped. They don't know what to do with a lot of these scriptures. And then the worst part of it is, it says, in the next verse it says, those that every spirit that confesses he did not come in the flesh is not from God, and that is the spirit of the Antichrist. So what are we working with? It's like, if he came in the flesh, is he still in the flesh? Well, when he ascended on high, he was still in the flesh. And it says when he comes back, we're going to be like him. And so we're either going to become gods, or he's going to be like us, you know, a man or something. We're going to see him as he is. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I've been kind of anxious.
Well, I don't think we'll see him as a man when he comes back. I just can't believe that he would go from what he is today to coming back as a man. I think he'd come back the way he was ascended into heaven, and we'll be changed. Those that will be called will be changed like him. Not him like us, but us like him.
Mm-hmm. A glorified man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spirit. Yeah. Says the Son of Man will come back.
Up here.
So it won't be, it's not going to be flesh and blood, probably.
No, but it'll be in the form of a man.
But it won't be a God thing.
No.
Because we're going to be like him.
There's only one God.
See, and the whole thing, it goes back in John, what is that? In John 4 something. God is spirit. So if you have anything different, it's not God. If it has any kind of a form or whatever, it's not God. It can have God in it and with it and on it, but God is a spirit, so you're never going to see him.
You'll be full of God.
I'm going to correct you because you corrected me. Before. You said God is a spirit.
No, he is spirit.
God is spirit.
I said it both ways, I think, in one of them.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, right.
That's a vital, important issue.
It is.
There is only one spirit being that created all things.
Right.
And God is spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that the King James is maybe one of the few translations that's wrong in that thing. The rest of them all say God is spirit.
Right.
All the rest of them, God is spirit. So when I read it, you know, God is a spirit, well, that's probably put in there by the Trinitarian translators, you know what I mean? You can add him to the other spirits.
You know, it says, the angel said to them, as you see him ascending, you will see him come back again the same. So whatever they saw going up, they're going to see coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what it says, but he's glorified now, which is a whole different ball game, because obviously, you know, and when it says we will be glorified, well, we'll be a whole different thing too.
And
you know?
No more pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one. I mean, I always get to Elijah. Elijah was lifted, rose into heaven, and they, you know, he saw him, and he was a man, but as he goes up, is he changed? Or, you know, what God can do, you know, you just have to start putting boundaries on it. He can go up, God can make it, he can come down, he can make it. Jesus went up, Jesus, after the resurrection, walk through a solid door, the upper room. Now, natural man, as we think, goes, well, you can't do that. Well, but he did. And God was with him, so how did he do that? I don't know. I take it as fact that he did it. And it's so easy to try and keep everything to what we can reference and then the shortchange what God can do.
One of the biggest problems that everybody has, including us, is trying to understand the abilities of God.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, way to put it, but it's like, it says with God all things are possible. And so we're trying to examine some of these things, and we don't realize it. With God, all things are possible. Whatever He wants to do, He can do it.
Mm-hmm. So, can He give you all truth? Can He give you all truth?
If He wants to.
Or if you can handle it.
Well, that's a better way. He would give it to you if you could handle it. And He can make you handle it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
true. Put it all in your best interest.
Yeah.
Not mine at this point.
Yeah, and it's also in His timing.
But a major weakness is that God has wants people to have the truth. But it says in Second Thessalonians, because they did not receive a love for the truth, they couldn't be saved. So if you're in an environment that's false doctrine, but they convince you that it's the truth, how do you receive a love for the truth? Do you see the problem? That's a major dilemma.
We received a lot of the truth 20 years ago, and we were going super hot. Yeah, man, he can do it for us.
It was our excellent resume that we received on the
right.
Yeah. You know?
Now
we
know
it.
You know, you started out that he was saying, or we had conversations this week, you know, it's so dangerous to listen to someone who says, you know, this is what I think.
Yeah.
And then the flip side of this is, oh, this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And then you go, well, even that's just not a perfectly solid statement.
No.
You go, this is what I think the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And you prophesy it, and then the other prophets go, it was a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. You know. And so, you know, you kind of come back to that. The scripture says, meditate. Was it meditate on the scriptures day and night?
Yeah, meditate on the word day and night.
Yeah, I mean, basically, just continue to think about them all the time, and then God will, you know, give you as what you need. It says you just can't go along and go, oh, yeah, this is what the Holy Spirit told me, and you go, I don't know.
You know, that same subject, you know, when I receive understanding, when I receive understanding, I always, at that very moment, I do believe it's from the Holy Spirit, from God. But I am very open to the fact that in a later time, the Holy Spirit might reveal something to me that might put whatever He revealed to me in an earlier time might be obsolete, let's say. Not wrong, but you know, but there is spirit of the devil. And people say, yeah, that's from the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I'm always open to more. And
the unfolding revelation.
Right.
I think the right principle is there in 1 Corinthians 14, where it says, let the prophets speak and let the others judge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We do, there is such a thing as receiving from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. However, we could be a little mistaken.
Yes.
So the safety
right.
is in right. in having yeah. the others
yeah.
judge.
Yeah. But you know, very important is, you know, let the prophet speak. So if the prophet is still subject to correction and to mm-hmm. misunderstanding. You know what I mean? Because if we weren't, then we will all be perfect. You know what I mean?
Maybe our translation isn't exactly what the Holy Spirit is giving you to. You know, we translate it.
Mm-hmm.
But even like when Jesus speaks of Abraham, I say this like our common third service. It's like Jesus says, "Why did you hate me? A man that told you the truth. You know, Abraham did not tell you the truth. Abraham did not do this. You know, not that Abraham was lying or terrible or evil, but whatever he had to do or say, he was still from God." But when Jesus showed up, it was not a truth that mattered anymore, basically.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. There was a, I caught this when I was listening to the Bible here. I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday, but anyway, it was in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, verse 16, it says, "Verily he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." You know, if there were a dual nature to Jesus, you know, sometimes he's God, sometimes he's man, or something like that, I don't think that he would be both taking on the nature of angels and the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
If that dual nature of Christ were what was up. You know, he wouldn't, that's what it'd be. It'd be, you know, or at least you wouldn't make this statement. You would say he didn't take on the nature of angels.
What translation are you
in? Oh, it's King James.
Oh, King James. I'm in agreement. I just was wondering which one said that in some other translation.
Yeah. To Hebrews 2:16.
And whereas one of the problems that has existed for a long time, and I'm real familiar with it, is that we have King James addicts, and we have New American Standard addicts, and Rotherham addicts. Remember the ones that did on red lights, and Weiss, Kenneth Weiss. Well, anyway, the thing that that's really give people a hard time is they try to trust their own translation. And what we have discovered is the basic issues that are vital are the same in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, whatever translation, so you can be listening to any translation you want, and you will, the Holy Spirit will give you the same revelation as the other one listening to another translation. And so, whereas I have been a King James addict over the years, and that's gone. I like the King James, but
it's really different in the New King James.
Yeah,
It's different in a couple places.
For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham.
What does it say?
Right, that's closer to NIV too.
Yeah. Well, let's start in 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham." And we, if you're a believer, you're the seed of Abraham because it's by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's saying he gives the aid to us, you know, to those that are in need, that are the seed of Abraham.
Yeah, it's real different. Taking on nature.
Yeah.
They have concluded that the King James people made an erroneous translation of the words. They did the fix there.
Yeah.
Who's right?
Well, that is interesting. Kind of makes sense, though, to be eating us.
"For surely he helps not the angels, but he helps the seed of Abraham." And it's not really which nature he took on, but why he's here.
Yeah.
When?
What his ministry is.
What his ministry is.
But the thing about it, translation after translation, we see him referred to as a man constantly, like in the Acts 2:2. How many twos did I use?
Two. Yeah, Acts 2:22.
And it says that a man approved by God. And, I mean, this is on the day of Pentecost. This is Peter speaking. I think it says that pretty much in all the translations, doesn't it? Or does it? Acts 2:2?
I'll double check, but I think that's what we looked up before.
But I mean, this is on the day of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into truth. You'd think that on that day that there would be a lot of truth involved, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
New King James, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles.
Yeah, that, it says that repeatedly over and over and over, so we know that we didn't have a spirit being that was doing these things. It was a man that God had established, that God had set up.
Well, yeah, it says
he came out of the people of Israel, it says back in Deuteronomy, and he, like unto Moses, which, God's going to put his word in his mouth.
Which God did through him in your midst. Yeah. That's all in that same verse.
Mm-hmm. It's a long verse.
Yeah.
So the thing that really, it, what makes a difference, you know, the Bible says that in Matthew 4:4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds the mouth of God. Every word. And Paul said, I have not tried to declare the whole counsel of God. What happens is, and I have been there, is people pick and choose what they want. You know, I like this scripture. You know why I like this scripture? It fits my doctrine. It helps what I think I believe.
The best doctrine is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Then you're just saying, yeah, I believe this. What do you believe? I believe the Word of God. To the best of my understanding right now, that's what I believe.
Of course, the Baptists will tell you the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a difference of understanding.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I have a testimony, and it's funny now, but at the time it wasn't too awfully funny. A miracle, an unusual event, one that goes against the normal laws of nature. Miracles are done by the power of God. I had a miracle. I have a plate that I've been trying to get used to and really hate. And so one day, we were up at the camper, in somebody else's camper, and I couldn't stay in them any longer, so I took them out, and I put them in my shirt pocket. When I got home, I didn't think about it. They're expensive, but mm-hmm. they're, well, about what I want to pay again. Anyway, I lost them. The next day I didn't put them in, couldn't find them, so I, what the heck, we got stuff to do, you know. And then I went to find them, and I couldn't find them, and I got a little upset. So I prayed, Lord, you know where they are, show me now, you know. Well, I worried for 2 weeks, prayed for 2 weeks, didn't tell him, I was scared of what he was going to do. But he handled it very well. Which is another miracle. Anyway, I got to clean the house from top to bottom. That's the only way I'm going to find them. But Lord, I'm still praying. You know where they are. You know, either show me or tell me or make them appear. So I'm cleaning and cleaning and cleaning and scrubbing carpets. The last carpet. And I had looked everywhere. I mean, I cleaned the house from top to bottom, underneath furniture, everything. They were nowhere. I believe they were nowhere. So, I'm scrubbing, and all of a sudden I see something pink on the carpet. I thought, what did I get on the carpet? You know, so I bend down to hit my teeth. They appeared, okay? And I had been scrubbing, you know. And So I can only think it's a miracle. Now, I can logically say this probably happened, but I still believe it was a miracle. God knew and he made them appear. But, you know, that's the side benefit of the house of queen. But to me, it was a miracle because I prayed. I know that the Lord knew where they were, but they just weren't, you know?
Yeah.
And they just appeared, as far as I can tell. So praise the Lord. Not a miracle. It's like I say, it's funny now, but then it wasn't.
No.
I even called the dentist to find out if he still had the form. And he said, yeah. He said, I can do it for another 900. Oh, no. Lord, you know better. So,
you know, things that are a miracle have their own kind of personality. I don't know if that's exactly the right word, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah.
And they've got their own characteristics. And you kind of,
this, to me, was a miracle.
For someone who's never had any experience and has their doubts about it, I suppose it wouldn't be totally convincing. But those who have had...
I know.
You think it's a miracle. I also think it's a miracle. Based on,
Well, what made this even more effective is the fact that we had to take camp ready to go in to get repaired because the floor was rotten, so we had to pull things out. It's being done this winter, so we had to cut the whole camp. Everything in the camp had to come home. So our house looked like one of those. Places where they have all the clutter and stuff like that, and the walkway through here and there. So you really had to be there to understand how great the miracle it was.
They were following
all that,
them.
You know?
I'm so grateful that I know him, that I can pray to him. You know, it's just, and we had friends that looked everywhere too, you know. And they prayed too, you know. And to them, it was a miracle too. Yeah. So
the fact, I mean, they could have been stepped on. They could have, you could have put,
gone
and bringing all the stuff in, you could have put something on them and you could have broke them.
This was my last room to clean. And all, it was just like, this is it, Lord.
You can't wait until she was on her last room.
Well, we got it all done. But I am so grateful. I just really am. Well, you know, if you don't believe, how you wouldn't pray believing, and I prayed believing that he could and would, you know. And he did.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And I just have to give him glory because he says, give glory.
You know, I've been debating on this. Jesus said that if you were either hot or cold, if you were lukewarm, I'd spit you out. I say that because I guess you could say we live in both worlds, you know, the church world and the camper world. And it's good to be back. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy to be back. But it's getting to the point where the camping world is the world. And I'll be honest, we are living in both, you know. And it's not good. But it's still hard to get out of it, you know. And I'm not saying it's the world like the world is, you know, it's not a church. There's people there that we associate with that are, they pray, they're Christians, they believe in God and all this and that. But we don't have the close fellowship like there is here, you know. And now that we got a, well, we'll still owe a lot on the camper. It's going to cost us probably another $15,000 to get it fixed. So we're kind of being tossed around. Is this God's word saying, take the loss and get out of it, fix it? You know, I don't know. I'm still waiting for answers on that one. I honestly don't know.
But there are things that we enjoy about being up there, you know, but still, we're looking for God leading.
But we're still living in the world up there, too, you know. And
No.
I'm still living in the world down here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the difference,
take this in a good meaning. Mm-hmm. See, I look at it, we're on the other side of the tracks, and you guys have a little community here. You can associate. You got associations within this little, in your neighborhood here. We don't have that so much over there. We have associations with people, but, you know, the neighbor retired, and we work together, help each other doing their chores and stuff like that. But they don't go to church. I don't know if they believe in anything or not. I don't know. I don't really care to know. You know, I just know he's a good neighbor. You know, he's a good, they're good people, you know. And so that's where our association is, and it's just like at the camper, you know. It's like, no, I'm not moving down here to be with you guys. Don't get me wrong. You know, ain't looking to sell. But, you know, it just, and most of it falls on us. I understand that. It's our decision on what we're going to do, you know. But we do need
prayers.
Yeah.
What
our next step. But I really do believe that God went back, you know.
It was a long summer this year. It seemed like it. It just
well, time-wise, but summer-wise, it wasn't.
No, but it just seemed to go on forever and ever.
I'd like to pray for sometime for 10 or 15 days. Get the
Yes, definitely. And a prayer, since we're asking for prayer. Richard Gray, the fellow that drowned in the river. Did you hear about that?
I didn't.
It was in the newspaper. He was the son of our close friend. So pray for the family.
Religious persons up at the camp.
Yeah.
This just happened last week.
The guy that he found in the boat and he wasn't with it, and then he was fishing off the rocks or something. Oh, okay. And some fisherman found him. Oh, found the body. Oh, but anyway, she's just a real sweet lady. Yeah, she's a Christian, and you know, she's one of the Christian people we're talking about at the camper.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so we ask for prayer for that family. A very big shock when your son is found that way, you know. So.
And he was a, he was a gentleman that was into drugs and stuff like that, but rehabilitated through God and was doing on going out preaching about what he went through type of thing.
He
had changed, turned his life around, so, you know.
He still struggled with things, but depression and stuff.
We all do still struggle.
With depression and stuff.
Were they married?
Two or three times.
Oh, okay. not currently.
No.
Okay, no.
He was 51?
Five.
Any children?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
they're
going to be. Their
20s.
Okay,
there.
I didn't know them at all, hardly.
Yeah.
You know.
Just a difficult situation.
Oh, actually, with you know, the two worlds you were talking about, Glenn, you know, I don't know. I don't have any special wisdom on how to, you know, deal with that, but I do know this. You know, the disciples were going about their business fishing. And Jesus came along and said, follow me, and they dropped their nets. When time comes, you know, we go about our business. We go about our business as long as when the time comes to drop the nets, then yeah. Oh, Jesus, I got fishing I got to do. I'm sorry. You know, and that's, you know, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, like I say, there's a lot of people up there that are nice, and then there's a lot of people that are up there partying, and, you know, and when they get drunk, they start swearing and stuff like that, and you just want to walk away from it, but you can't get away from it. You know, it's there.
But it's funny.
And that's the other part of the world that's bad to be around.
I had a dream one night, and it was weird. It was so real, but yet when I woke up, I thought this will never happen. The one group of people who are the parties, I saw one guy get up and start preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I went, whoa, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, in my flesh, it's not possible that this is going to happen. But with God, it's possible, you know? Mm-hmm. And why even in a dream, I don't know. It was weird. Mm-hmm. It's a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. But then, Charlie, you did that through the prison ministry a lot, didn't you?
Did what, I'm sorry?
Through the prison ministry, you did a lot of that yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Gene and I are about to go to music things, and you know, and we're with worldly people. And you know, there are times that I'm a little uneasy about it, but it does create an opportunity for potential ministry down the road that simply wouldn't be there otherwise. You know, I'm not saying for sure that's, you know, I'm following God's will, or, you know, I don't know about that. But it does. There is a potential open door there. Do you have any wisdom about that, Ken?
I've associated in a lot of different groups out there, too. And some of it was because how are you going to reach them if you're not with them? But at the same time, it can be a little
in your own walk.
And so I'm kind of dealing with some of that right now, and it's kind of like, yeah. So,
what's the step?
You know, I think I got to change some ways in me before, you know, whatever. But that's my thinking. You got to be careful about that, you know.
You know, Paul says bad habits corrupts. No, bad company corrupts good habits, or something like that. Somebody help me. Yeah, okay. So, you know, Jesus, when he came, he didn't come to preach to the righteous, obviously, not that there was any. And but he was, the Pharisees themselves said, a glutton and a wine bearer, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He wasn't eating out, he wasn't eating his guts out himself, he wasn't drinking out of himself, but that was who his crew was, or his...
He came to save.
That's where he was involved, mm-hmm. with the people that looked the worst. Now, Jesus didn't become one of them, then became... the hope was that then we'll become one of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I don't know where you're at or anything or any of us or me or whatever, but the idea of I mean, I think it will be pointless to not go out anywhere because people are so bad. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to go out there. Mm-hmm. And eventually, and my work is not to try to save the whole world, but it is to let people wonder, why is there so much joy in you guys? Why are you guys always so happy? Why is it? That's it. Now, you don't got that, then you got to work on it. But always be ready to give someone a reason why you have joy. Let your light shine in the darkness. Now, if you go outside of the flashlight, your flashlight is worthless. So just, you know, so work on yourself if you think you need work. But I don't know that if you quit going someplace, that won't change you, really. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like some people, I'm going to get out of this town. When they go over there, they're the same person. You know what I mean? So I don't have any suggestions, what you should do or not. But I do think that just let your light shine and make sure you have light in you. Let it shine, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not looking for suggestions or ideas or somebody tell me what I should do. That's not why I brought it up. I brought it up because of what we do, you know. And I just want you to understand. I just wanted to bring it out so that it maybe helps me more than anything else, you know, to confront this. The fact that this is...
It's interesting that there's a setting of scripture where I think it's Paul says, well, you can't get out of the world. He said you would have to leave this world if you did. But the context he's in is, the ones he says you should shy away from are those that are in your group of that say they're believers and are acting wrong.
True.
That's who it says to get away from.
That is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, don't. I'm not saying get away from the world, because you'd have to leave this world. But don't...
The danger is in hypocrisy.
Yeah.
The deceivers.
Don't be with the deceivers that are within you. You know, don't... you know, if a guy's in some kind of a sin, you don't want to keep being his friend necessarily. I don't know. There's a lot of qualifications in that setting, but I don't know where it's at for sure, but...
Where is it talk about returning to the weak and beggarly elements of the world? You know, for those who return to the weak and beggarly. I heard that scripture and I thought, I'm wondering if I'm returning to the weak and beggarly elements of the world.
You know? Yeah,
yeah. Don't you become that as well?
What?
Don't you become
what? Yes, yeah. Yes.
But in my case,
true.
I think it's. God also showing me where my weaknesses are that I still have to deal with, you know.
I would say this, the fact that you're aware of this and you're contemplating this means that you are trying to walk upright and you haven't, and you're waiting on God, you know. As we just said, Jesus went into the church and the synagogues and basically told them they're all wrong. And he also went out and about and was out with the sinners trying to show them the light. So I don't know that you look at that and you say, well, you should only do this or you should only do that. That's not what he did. And so we've been talking a lot in some of our men's meetings about the about a true repentance. You know, repent, but I mean, repentance is truly from the heart. And that comes from a real struggle that you're trying to walk right and you're trying to overcome your lower nature and acknowledge that you're not there and you need God's help. But it's a tussle. And I think we're all saying in different ways.
You're all there.
We're all right there, and that's exactly...
One extent or another.
You want to be. I mean, as Papa was saying, he was saying, the thing to be, and I play that song probably too much, but let them see me, let them see you and me. As Papa was exhorting, I mean, if you are in a good place with God and you are just generally happy, when people see that you're happy and that, you know, kind of like, why are you so happy? And you go, because I got God in my life. You know, that's the most powerful testimony you can have versus, you know, flailing someone with a Bible, chasing them down with, you know, scriptures, chapters and verse. Because now you're preaching and most people receive that as judging. And who are you to judge me? And, you know, so I would just say, as uncomfortable as it might be for you, you're right where God wants you to be, and God is always good, and so you revel in the misery because that means He's working on you. And that's kind of the way I kind of look at it. Like, this isn't what I really want, but God, I'm looking to see how to change.
Put our confidence in Him and not in ourselves.
Yeah, I think you do that. I haven't heard that song too much for you.
I can understand. I tend to make sure I play it a fair amount. Because I really, really impact me.
Mm-hmm.
It is truly the way I want to walk.
And I think in a way we don't know what God's doing in a lot of things.
Clearly.
Being there. Mm-hmm. One instance, the owner, we were talking one day, he had come through and we were just talking and he got a subject of where we go after we die. And I said, well, I know where I'm going. He said, nobody can know. I said, hey, I know. And he just said, okay. So I don't know if that was a deep planet or what, you know. But it seems like whenever I'm talking to him, we get to that point of knowing where we're going after we die. I don't think he quite believes me yet, but I think it's coming.
Well, we were discussing that Tuesday about you don't know the effect sometimes than just you being somewhere has, you know, you may not even have said anything or whatever. But
you're all that affected that one little comment.
Yeah.
What God can do with that.
Yeah. She's telling her nothing about a miracle of the teeth. I was thinking this morning that, you know, we get a lot of miracles that we're not even aware that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes I get frustrated having to wait for her and I'm ready to go and I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to go and go and go. And then I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe He's keeping me here because something's going to happen if I get there early.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I got to look at this differently and be more patient and say, okay, God's keeping me here for a reason. You know? For you
people. Well, that's a way of looking at it.
But I'm not there yet.
That's a right way of looking at it.
No, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, maybe those little miracles that you don't realize that have happened in your life that you'll never know or see.
Yeah.
You know?
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. That thought crossed my mind, too.
Yeah,
hold you up a little bit, and you miss.
You miss the accident.
Yeah.
A lot of bad stuff going on just before you're going someplace.
Yeah, 5 more minutes, I'm safe.
Yeah. 5 more minutes is going to put you right there in the middle. That's what you're looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is what
it is. You know, you don't need to really. Just
wait for you to shine.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be back,
guys. It really is. We miss you
when you're not here. Oh, we miss you. It's nice to have you guys.
We miss you all. And we appreciate all your prayers.